Welcome, everybody, to the MGA MedioCast, episode number 24 on July 28th of 2011. We're doing it again. We're really back, for real. My name is Willie Dills, straight Willie Dills, joined, of course, by my co-founder and good friend, John Lucky Kick Morley. John, all the way from Chicago, welcome.
That's right. 2 hours in your future.
2 hours into the future. Yep. So what are you doing in Chicago?
Doing a little work for Cadillac.
All right.
Solid American brand.
I would say the MGA of cars, Cadillac.
Yeah, you could say that. but
that, of course, I mean the best at what they do,
right,
even if somewhat mediocre in other respects. But the best at what they do. I don't know. Yeah. I've never actually owned a Cadillac. I have no basis for that.
They're very nice. They are. The new ones are really fast and a lot of fun. So.
Fast. Okay. I remember my stepdad used to have a Cadillac, but it was like driving a boat. Like,
right,
it literally felt like driving a boat. Like, you turn the wheel just a little bit, and it felt like rather than steering with the front, it was sliding from the back. Like, it felt like there was a rudder on it. It was crazy.
Yeah, this is not your who had it? Your stepdad?
My stepdad, yeah.
This is not your stepdad's Cadillac anymore.
Okay.
It's the new world standard is what they're saying. And yeah, these things are fast. I mean, they're meant to compete with the BMW M5 and like the Mercedes AMG E63. They're awesome cars.
The BMW M5, also known as the BMW Mar. All right. So by the way, my stepdad, very mediocre golfer, very, very mediocre.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. He's getting better. He didn't take up the game until he was like over 60 years old though. So, yeah, if you want to be better than mediocre, I recommend definitely picking up the game before the age of 60. Today,
tip from the medias.
Have you hung out with anybody from the Chicago chapter? By the way, one of my new favorite chapters on the MGA tour.
Yeah, yeah. I did. I hung out with their president out there,
Andy Westby.
Yeah. And when he came out to San Francisco, we hung out briefly at a bar. We would have hung out for about 3 hours, but he was waiting for chicks to get ready.
Oh, okay. No, that happens. Yeah. Chicks take a long time to get ready. So, was he sporting like a sweet mustache? Because I saw the pictures.
San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, but now he is.
I saw the pictures from their last tournament and it looked like he had a pretty sweet stash going. So,
yeah, definitely. So I'm going to try and meet up with them. I'm pretty far out of the city, actually. I'm about almost an hour out of the city, but I'm going to try and coordinate with going into the city the night before because I fly out Monday morning and hopefully get to hang out with those guys.
Well, if you drive one of those Cadillacs, I'm sure you can get there pretty quick, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, right. So not work here anymore. Sweet new Cadillac for a little while.
One of the great things about the Chicago chapter is the quality of their photography is amazing.
Well,
somebody's got a sweet camera out there.
Yeah, I don't know if he mentioned it and told me this, but he paid, air quotes, one of his friends to come out and just drive around and shoot pictures. He even had it. He had a hat with like a piece of paper shoved in it, like old reporter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jason. Jason Paradise. Yeah.
I see
it right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Paradise. I think that's how you say that.
Yeah.
they
in beer.
That's awesome. Because here's the thing. When you, like me and you, we take the pictures, right? And the photography suffers due to the fact that we have to play some golf.
Yeah.
If you have somebody whose sole job it is to take pictures, you end up with shots like the first one. I recommend everybody check out Chicago Does It Tom Hanks Style, the story from their last tournament. The very first picture is classic MGA photography right there. It's just a bunch of dudes pointing off into the distance with their drivers. Who knows why? Who knows what the hell the impetus for this picture was? But fantastic. Very, very great. Also wearing some quality pastel polos, which I support. I support pastel color polos. I've gone on record saying this. Definitely. Everybody knows this. Yeah. I actually played a little bit of golf today with some medios, and one guy who should be a medio but hasn't made his way out to a tournament yet. Played with Kent, King Kent Jameson, and Steve Welder Archer, and Dave Ron. And Dave Ron hasn't made it out to a tournament, but definitely MGA quality play. He actually on one hole took an iron. It was a par three, fairly short par three. I mean, we were hitting into the wind, but took an iron and hit it about 45 degrees to the right twice in a row in quick succession. Right into some high grass, some tall grass.
Which you broke up on me there. He hit it what?
Oh yeah, so he took an iron off of a fairly short par three and went basically 45 degrees to the right, directly into some tall grass twice in a row. Exactly the same shot. I was thoroughly impressed with his MGA skills.
So what you're saying is Dave Ron, great drummer, bad golfer.
Yeah. Great drummer, mediocre golfer. I wouldn't call him bad. Okay. He's got some skills. He can do it. He does a weird thing where on his takeaway, his head, which we've given this tip before, so maybe he listened to some old podcasts, but he basically follows the club head back. He watches the club head go back, and then he jerks his head down to find the ball again and then hits the ball. So... It definitely lends itself to MGA quality play where consistency just not quite there.
Yeah, not traditional. But no, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. But his own style, you know what I mean? And it was a great day out there. Me and Kent had a pretty good match going. On the front, I shot 42, and Kent and Welder both shot 44s. Then immediately on the back nine, I made an 8,
I noticed. Noticed you didn't even mention Dave's score.
No. Yeah, Dave, 55 on the front, 63 on the back. So he kind of played his way out of contention pretty early. But I immediately made an 8 on the back, and Kent went murdy to take a 2-shot lead. And then he had a 3-hole meltdown, 6-6-7. I made murdy to take a 5-stroke lead back.
drama of mediocre.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Finest.
And after the 15th hole, Kent goes, "Oh man, you got a 5-shot lead now. There's no way I can win." And I said, "Hold on a second there, Kent. Hold on 1 second. This is the MGA and anything can happen." And I promptly went 7-7-7 on the back three. And ended up 2 over, and Kent went mar murdy. I was glad he made murdy on the last hole because he kind of won the match, you know, I did lose it.
Giving it away.
Yeah. I had a fairly easy, it was 180 yards out, but with the wind behind me, and it was over a hazard, and I basically just sculled it and went right into the water, so... I almost made the putt that would have made it a tie, but just stopped right on the lip. So it was high drama out there. Yeah. No big check on the line, but high drama for sure.
That's Well, when I played with, the other day, we actually tied, and really I'm going to mention one part of the game, which was my best ball striking in years.
Yeah.
I had 9 greens in regulation, and I 3-putted 6 of them.
Wow. So, yeah, I call that I'm trying to get a new stat added, but I call the green in regulation followed by the 3-putt a Guthrie, because it's a green in regulation, GER, followed by a 3-putt, GER 3. So,
Guthrie.
Yeah, so you had 6 Guthries. That's strong. That's real strong. Kent is playing a lot of golf these days, and you know, I'm kind of surprised. Like he's been going through this streak where he's been playing really good for a while, and he's definitely back to the mediocre play. Like he's still got all the skills, but it's just like he's having more meltdown holes than he had before. So you know, I don't know if he's trying to whittle down his penalty strokes or if it's some part of a master plan of his, but. He said now that he knows he's probably not going to make the world championships, he doesn't really care anymore. He's got nothing to live for at this point. So, you know, maybe that's what's going on. There's just too much going on in his head. Just the sadness of knowing he's not going to make it out. And
That, I guess that could segue into our first bit of news here, is the bombshell that Fat Mike and Kent might not make it out.
Yeah. So let's, why don't we go ahead and jump right into MGA news?
All right.
Eagles, Mogies, and Meltdogs, Toys, and Gurneys, and Weirdos, and Medios, MGA News.
All right, MGA News. We got a lot of stuff going on right now, and we just talked about it. Fat Mike and Kent not going to be at the World Championships, maybe. Still not finalized, but the word on the street is they might be in South America. You know, I don't know what kind of business one might conduct in South America. I'm sure it's definitely illegal, but they may not make it out to the World Championships. But that's not going to stop them from putting their stamp on this year's World Championships. And this was just announced on the website, mgatour.com, that we are going to have our meet and greet, a.k.a. the meet and drink and drink, at Fat Mike's Vegas Punk House this year. For those of you who don't know, Fat Mike purchased a property in Las Vegas, and he's got a rental house there now, a pretty sweet rental house, and it was actually featured on the local news there. And we're going to have our meet and greet there, or otherwise known as our meet and drink and drink. So why don't we talk a little bit about the house and the amenities that it offers? I haven't been there yet. Have you been there?
I've been there.
Okay. So tell what type of activities might one expect at the meet and drink and drink?
Well, I was out there for punk rock bowling, so
otherwise known as bowl and drink and drink.
Bowl and drink and drink.
Yeah.
And yeah, the party made its way back to Mike's house, where there is a pool table.
Okay.
A poker table.
Nice.
Pinball machine. A beer machine. there's a pool. There's a hot tub.
Nice.
Which everyone loves in the middle of the night, but not so much at
sunrise. When it's 100 and something degrees outside.
Yeah, if you try and throw a sunrise hot tub party, just a tip, no one gets in.
All right. Okay.
Except maybe the person trying to throw it.
Yeah, one guy. Just a tip. Come on, guys, get in. It's amazing.
but no, it's a great place. Lots of that are, I mean, there aren't walls between these rooms, but there are a lot of little areas for people to hang out.
Okay,
so
cool.
We're going to have beer and snacks and, you know, fill it up with activities. It's got a putting green. I don't know how I didn't mention that.
Well, the putting green is actually going to be featured heavily at the meet and drink and drink. And we're going to have a little bit of a competition put on there. So let's kind of run through what all the activities are going to be. We're going to have the low IQ results and rose ceremony, which we had last year. And we did that at the Sahara what was the name of the room that we did it in?
I don't know. It was in the NASCAR Cafe.
The NASCAR Cafe. That's right. And, so if those of you who weren't there, it was pretty tense. It got pretty tense in there, figuring out who was going to get these roses. And it was a really, really cool thing. You know, everybody kind of waiting to know if they're going to get a rose or not, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, you know, for those who haven't read, the top 10 from the low IQ win a spot in the world championship the next day.
Exactly.
And they win the right to play.
Yeah.
It's not free. It's golf.
No. Yeah.
Golf
yeah.
isn't free.
No, never.
But
sometimes.
But anyway, we had 12 people vying for 10 spots, so it was very dramatic. And I'm wondering this year if we are going to have more people in that low IQ, because I'm absolutely convinced we're going to have a lot more people out in Vegas, but a lot will be coming from new, smaller chapters.
Where everybody basically qualifies.
Top 10.
Yeah, totally. Well, we shall see. I mean, even if there's like, you know, like last year with 12, that was pretty tense because of the fact that we know two guys aren't going to make it, you know, and right. like to have only two guys walk away with the big disappointment, as I call it, it made for high drama. And so Clopton missed the cut. And who else missed the cut? Samuels made it, didn't he? Oh, Clopton made it? I have no idea.
I think he did. I know Fontana did it.
Fontana did not. That's right.
That much I know.
Okay.
But I don't.
We can be certain of one thing. Fontana did not make it.
Now I don't remember. I don't think Hoagie made it.
Oh, that could have been
it.
He didn't play the next day. That's right.
He was laying on tee boxes drinking beers with
Inglesby. Him and Inglesby. Yeah. Ride the Slut. Yeah. not only are we going to have the rose ceremony, and there might, you know, word on the street is we might, instead of passing out roses, which I think roses are great, but we might be passing out PBRs as well. So,
right.
Pabst Blue Rose. We're also going to be bringing back one of the most popular features from last year, which was the player auction. So the day before the tournament, we're going to be auctioning off everybody who's playing in the championships in intervals of $1. And you'll basically get to, you know, bid until somebody, you know, is unwilling to bid higher than you. And if you win, you'll take 50% of the entire purse. Second right. place will get 30%. Third place will get 20.
Yeah. If the player you buy wins.
Yes.
So I have to believe that if Mike and Kent, in fact, do not make it to the tournament, I have to believe Kent is going to be on the phone with Mr. Pothier bidding on players that night from Peru.
Yeah. I don't doubt that at all. For those of you who don't know, last year I bought John James for $5. It was kind of a... let me just buy some cheap guys here and see what happens. That was kind of my strategy going in. I was like, I'm going to buy the guys who aren't going to cost me a lot of bucks, and I'm going to hope I pick one up. And I got super, I mean, it's Vegas, you know, anything can happen. I got super lucky. A guy that was playing well at the time, but wasn't really a favorite necessarily, pulled
wasn't
it out.
On the radar.
No. Yeah. It was definitely, I mean, for $5, he was not on the radar. I mean, we had some pretty high bids going out there. I think you actually went for the most, right? And,
Kent did.
Kent, but Kent also, there's an asterisk next to that one. Because he basically bid on himself.
Right.
But,
he pretended Mike was calling in the bids.
Yeah. But come on, we all know what's going on. Manager. Yeah. We're going to have the impossible putt. We mentioned the putting green. Now the impossible putt is going to be, I think, the funnest thing going on, because the way it's going to work is we're on this putting green. There's, you know, several holes to putt at. We're going to try to make the hardest putt we can come up with that is still somewhat possible. Even, you know, as improbable as it might be, something that could still potentially go in. There's talk of maybe putting some obstacles in the way, different kinds of things going on here. And then basically it's going to cost you $1 to take a shot at it. If you win, you take down the whole purse. So, it's going to be real exciting. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of action going on there.
Glamorous prizes as well.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a few glamorous prizes.
Okay. So if you like glamorous prizes, definitely don't miss out on the impossible putt. There's also going to be a live media cast once again. Hopefully we'll have our sound quality issues worked out. Last year, we were able to get... I mean, the media cast was a lot of fun to do. Unfortunately, the audio that resulted from it was so poor that we just basically decided not to put it out. This year we're gonna come knowing full well that we're gonna do that. We're gonna prep a little bit more. But part of the live media cast will probably be another game. If you want to test your knowledge, your mediocre golf knowledge, we'll probably be doing some of that. We'll have some speeches, maybe some player interviews, and just general media cast type activities going on. So definitely be ready for that. Of course, there's going to be eating and drinking. Then there's also going to be transport from the hotel. So there's going to be buses, basically, that will take us over there. And this is going to happen after the low IQ. So the same day as the low IQ.
Exactly. So this is going to allow us to get people out of the house eventually. Yeah. 'Cause when there's drinking and drinking involved, sometimes, it's tough to get people to leave.
Yeah, so, no, it's true.
We want to have a schedule that we're stuck to. And basically we're going to rent a couple big buses. No one has to pay. No one has to drive.
Yeah.
And we'll all leave the house in one piece, hopefully.
And this is going to be a big event, so everybody must attend. I'm serious. Don't come to Vegas and don't come to this thing, because you're really going to be missing out if you do that. So
wait, just told everyone to not come to Vegas and not go to the meet.
wait. No, no. Yeah.
You were the worst promoter ever.
Wait a minute. Definitely come to Vegas and also go to the meet and greet. All right. So, MGAWC, the World Championships, the registration opens on what date, John?
Monday, August 1st.
Okay, good.
It's very soon. Yeah. And, the way it's going to work, there's going to be a link on the front page, and it will take you to a form where you fill in all the information. It's going to show you, basically we've put packages together that include the hotel, the golf, the transport to and from the meet and greet, everything you need, to enjoy yourself in Vegas, all put into one convenient, very low price package, I got to say.
You know, honestly, for a trip to Vegas with 2 days of golf, and as much fun as you can possibly have, it's going to be a better price than you will ever find ever for anything like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when you guys go check out the form, you fill in all the information and it's explained at the bottom of the form. But when you submit it, all that does is give us all that information. And then when we get around to processing it, we'll contact you for payment. So you're not actually paying anything, but you are committing that you are going to show up when you turn in that form, and we'll contact you shortly after.
Yep. It's all very, legitimate, all very, by the numbers, by the book.
It's all booked. So you guys better sign up.
So you better sign up. It's going to be a ton of fun though. So everybody, August 1st, go there and start signing up now. I definitely recommend picking up your flights as early as possible if you know you're going to go. You know, prices are pretty good right now, so it's a good time to book it.
Yeah, on that note, I don't know if anyone's seen the Southwest commercials right now. There's a lot of $59 fares out there.
Nice.
One way, so.
All right.
But they expire August 1st, or you got to book them by August 1st. So
okay, yeah, so get out there and get that. Yeah, even if you haven't fully like signed up yet, definitely go get those flights if you know you're going to come. Now, also, at the Low IQ, there's going to be a couple other things up for grabs. There's going to be a couple new things added, a couple wrinkles added this year. We're going to have the Chapters Cup. And the Chapters Cup is basically another way for your chapter to kind of put itself out there as the best chapter. So talk a little bit about how the Chapters Cup, that's on the WCs on Saturday. Tell us a little about how the Chapters Cup is going to work, John.
Right on. Yeah. So the Chapters Cup, new thing for this year, very exciting. Another bragging right opportunity for any chapter. And the way it's going to work, and there's going to be a story up tomorrow on it, but the way it's going to work is the best three scores from each chapter during the World Championships, the three players with the best scores will be totaled, and lowest score wins.
All right.
So what that means is you have to have three players there to be eligible.
Okay.
So each chapter will want to try and get at least three players there. Of course, if you have more players, your odds improve because you can use any three players' scores. If John James pulls another round out of his ass and shoots an 85, we'll be more than happy to use his score. But if he shoots his normal one, we're not going to use the score.
No, doesn't count.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. Now, John, explain something to me here. Are we using penalty strokes for the total score here? Are we counting net score?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Cool. Makes a lot of sense.
Penalty strokes will be applied. I mean, I don't even, in the stories anymore, of course, when I talk about people's scores, I don't bother putting pre-penalty or any of that junk. I mean, your score in the MGA is whatever it is with penalty strokes, and that is what your MGA score is. So
absolutely, yeah.
I don't even consider people's gross scores unless we're talking about the gross award.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense as well. Now, the other thing that's going to be happening on Friday as part of the Low IQ, for the first time ever, we're going to have a Ryder Cup-style competition called the Medio Cup. And this is
slightly more complicated than the Chapters Cup.
Slightly more complicated, yeah. But
a lot of fun.
It's all going to make sense, and it's going to give people who maybe have already qualified a reason to show up and play on Friday. If they're thinking maybe they just want to, you know, drink all night on Thursday and don't have to come on Friday, this is going to give you a reason to want to show up. Because this is going to be highly coveted here. Basically, the way it works, much like the Ryder Cup, where it's USA versus everybody else, which is the way it always is in life. But the Medio Cup is going to be the San Francisco chapter, which is the original chapter, versus all other chapters. And the way this is going to work is we are going to take the top 10 on the money list from the San Francisco chapter, plus the captain who will be the money winner or the chapter money winner in San Francisco from last year, who will be the captain. So if that person also was in the top 10, which we know that's not going to happen this year, but if that were to happen, there would be the 10 behind them or the 10 besides that guy. So the 10 top 10 who actually come to the MJWCs, and then plus one captain's pick. So there will be 12 total. And then we're going to make up a team of 12 from the other global chapters. And their captain is going to be the next guy on the list from, you know, any other chapter that actually shows up on the global money list from last year. And he will be the captain. And then we're going to go ahead and set it up match play style. So there's going to be 8 singles matches and 2 doubles matches. And the captains will decide who plays against who. It is going to use penalty strokes as well here. But as you know, since it's match play, we're going to apply those penalty strokes to certain holes. And then basically each match is worth 1 point. If you have the match, it's worth a half a point. And we'll see if the global chapter or the global MGA can take down the SFMGA, which I highly doubt. I'm going to say it right now. I highly doubt it. I think the San Francisco MGA has the most talent. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that. I know there's a lot of great golfers out in the other chapters in the MGA, but so far we haven't lost anything at the Global World Championships. So I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, and I'm hoping all this shit talking is lighting a fire under the ass of these other chapters, so they'll show up and try and take this stuff, because I don't have any more room in my house for trophies.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting all of basically everybody here in the SFMGA is starting to have to think about building wings in their houses just to keep all their hardware. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to win, a lot of trophies to be had. So if you want to go home and brandish your brand new hardware, come out to the World Championships. There's going to be a ton of stuff that you can potentially win. So let's quickly go over some recent MGA results. So some recent MGA results. These are some global MGA results. So let's talk real quick. I forgot to put this in there, but San Francisco MGA, we had a pretty big one. We put the story up, but probably the most high-profile father-son team in the MGA, mm-hmm. behind, of course, Bulldozer and John Morley, who are definitely the highest profile father-son team in the MGA, is probably the Wards. So Stacy Ward and Charlie Ward, both are now MGA champions. And it must That's really right. make things a lot better for Stacy when he goes home. He doesn't have to hear his old man talk about how many trophies he has on the MGA Tour compared to his son's zero.
Well,
that's got to be embarrassing.
It would be
right?
hard to hear Charlie. It'd be hard to hear Charlie over the jingling of all those gross awards. That
That's true. That's true. Stacy does have quite a collection of tiny trophies. Now he can call himself a major champion as he took down the Bradish Open, which was played in very Bradish Open like conditions at Oakhurst Country Club. The fastest greens we've probably ever seen on the MGA. And a really, really tough course. And once the wind kicked up on the back nine, it was impossible. Hopefully we'll never play there again. Yeah. And hopefully we'll never play there again. And Stacy's probably bummed that that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, he had a good round out there. Shot 85 on a day when nobody else, I think 93 was the next closest score. And
94.
Well, yeah, 94. Absolutely. That's right. We had Grimsvet and Todd Heineman both come in with 94. So, but a great day for Stacy. Finally pulled one together. And instead of, you know, going low and breaking 80, he actually found a way to qualify and take down a big check. So congratulations to Stacy.
Congrats.
Absolutely. So that also cements, of course, that Dan Bully Bullwinkle is the best player to have never won a major. We'd definitely be making a mistake if we don't mention that on every MedioCast, I think. All right, so a couple of results from around the MGA. We had Boston MGA. Mike the Golden Bear Burke took down Bradish over there, shooting an 89 and taking home $1.26000. Accepting the award for Mike, as well as over half the field, we had a very nice, I guess she was the waitress at a local dive bar named Linda.
Looked like it.
Yeah. So I actually left a comment there on the Boston MGA story that Linda is now the most decorated media ever. She took down 16 through 12. I think she also took down 10 through 7. And got the claret jugs. So congratulations to Linda. Storming her way into the MGA.
Yeah. My favorite part of that story was the video of our current global money leader trying to show everyone how to get out of the trees and ducking for cover. I actually linked to it on our MGA Facebook page.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It was
just, had me rolling. And then the Fairway Tim.
Fairway Tim, the tribute video. Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. Without music, just a man alone
with a horrible swing. Yeah.
You know, it's unique though. I like it.
It is very unique. It's reminiscent of like a Jim Furyk type thing going on here. He pulls the club head back and keeps it square to the target the entire time. So it's not really like a swing as much as he just kind of pushes the ball forward. It's amazing. I can't believe I can't believe he hits the ball. And then in the San Diego chapter of the MGA, we had Kevin Lang taking home $0.55000 with a sterling 86. Some of the highlights of their story included the cart shenanigans. They somebody blew a tire out, and as we all know, golf carts lead the MGA in causing golfer injury. So I'm glad nobody was hurt in that one.
That and rec softball leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. Rec softball leagues and golf carts are the biggest dangers on the MGA Tour. Third highest on the danger list, wolves on the course. another great story came out of the Asheville MGA, where two San Francisco medios have been transplanted into the Asheville MGA. And we expected it, and it happened. Michael Good and Gabe Elash finished 1-2, and Michael Good takes down a Bradish Open. So second year in a row now, or no, second 2 out of 3 years now, he's taken home the Claret Jugs. Now he can have them, you know, rub titties together or something. I don't know what you do with that.
Well, I told him, or I left a comment saying this is the beginning of the end. Just anyone remember who Padraig Harrington is anymore?
That's true.
Did he win 2 British Opens?
He did, yeah. We all know that the British Open belongs to Northern Ireland, so just don't forget that. And now the Asheville MGA belongs to Michael Good and Gabe Elash. Perth MGA, I was really excited to read this story because this was their inaugural tournament, and Rick the Brown Baron Guggenheim shot a blistering 107, taking $0.47000, and looked like they had a great time out there. It was a really, really cool story. I definitely recommend reading up on the Perth MGA, which marks our third chapter in Australia. which is fantastic. I mean, Australia, they really get it down there. So, I heard though that whenever you lip a putt in, it goes the other way down there. We also had another Australian chapter, the Newcastle MGA, and Ben Penifold. Penifold shot a 90 and took down $0.63000. And I'm not sure, but I think it might be the first time in the MGA someone's actually done a full bare-breasted trophy kiss. We've seen a lot of guys bare the breasts, but I don't think we've seen a picture of them actually kissing the bare breasts. Congratulations. Congratulations there.
Didn't know you were interested in fully formed breasts.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things. It's at some point, at some point, the MGA will teach every man about breasts. And the Chicago MGA, the chapter we were just talking about, Jeff Bittner, shot an 87, taking home $1.26000. And I love how they're calling themselves the Yahoos down there. That's a full purse right there. First year on tour, and they've already filled up the they got 33, I think, for this tournament. So full fields out there.
I'm amazed they didn't do a full press release for this, because they very proudly emailed me when they officially took over second largest chapter in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because Seattle for a long time was, was clearly second in command. Yeah. And, Chicago has taken the NGA by storm. And, you could tell by reading their stories too, that they really get it out there. I mean, these guys, they understand what the NGA is all about. And the medios out there, they're drunk as hell. They're having a great time. The guys in the back of the car, you could tell they've got glassy eyes, and they're making an MGA sign out of their hands. So good.
What I'm loving is looking at these new chapters and having flashbacks to like when we were headed to the douchebag a couple years ago.
Oh yeah,
the mix CD you made singing. Come, my lady. Come, my lady. Come up at the flash.
When we all gave ourselves, like, fake names and stuff.
Super douchey. Yeah.
Tad McQueary and... Yeah, so good. So many good memories coming out of the MGA.
And then all these other chapters are doing parking lot award ceremonies like we used to do, which is cool.
Oh, yeah, so good. It's amazing. It's just, like, it warms my heart to think that something that was so fun for us has made its way into all these other cities, and there's medios all over the world right now, passing out, passing out kind of big checks and envelopes full of loose change. It's amazing.
And partial sex dolls.
Yeah, exactly. And part of a female's anatomy, covered by you know, bikini top. It's amazing.
What was the latest result in Seattle? Talking about Seattle, I can't navigate because it's going to crash my Skype.
Let's take a look here.
They ran up there.
Let's take a look here. Looks like Tyler Newman, but I don't think that's still the FU Open, so I haven't seen the Bradish Open results yet. Okay. Yeah, it looks like they're scheduled to have their Bradish Open on the 30th. So coming up in a couple days here. And they've switched to Saturday tournaments, haven't they? They've been doing Saturday tournaments for a while now.
I think they always did Saturdays.
Oh, okay. So that's a note to all the other MGA chapters. Just have it on whatever day is best for you. It's all good. All right. So Chicago MGA, congratulations to Jeff Bittner and the Yahoos out there. Let's talk about our upcoming tournament, which is the MGA Championship. And, of course, everybody knows the MGA Championship, last major of the year, last chance to take down that major trophy and that kind of big check that counts a little bit more than the others. The winner can say he's the MGA champion, which pretty cool. Pretty cool little title to give yourself, you know?
Yeah, it can be confusing. I mean, people can think it's a bigger deal than it really is.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because for whatever reason, people seem to care less about the MGA Championship than the FU, the Bradish, and the Bastards. It's clearly...
Sorry, Martin Brome.
Yeah, sorry, man. Sorry, Nils Ericson. It's the fourth major. It really is, you know?
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, like the fifth majors, which we're not sure which one's the fifth major. It could be the douchebag. A lot of people consider the douchebag the fifth major. But a lot of people also really like the Last Gasp because it has, you know, probably the biggest trophy. This is the last official major of the year. So if your name is Dan Bully Bullwinkle, I suggest getting a couple practice rounds in. Do you know where we're going to be holding this?
Yeah, we'll be holding ours at Blue Rock, West Course.
Oh, West Course.
I don't think we've actually played an MGA event on the West Course there.
No, we have done the East Course a few times, but the West Course is actually, I kind of prefer the West Course. There's some more interesting holes there.
I like it.
Yeah. And there's some pretty cool stuff going on in the West Course. I'm going to go ahead and register for this event right now because I was not. All right, it's official. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. And it's time for a special MGA MedioCast segment that's been going on since the original MedioCast, and that, of course, is Ask Man Landers.
What should I do?
Ask Man Landers.
Our first question in the Ask Man Landers segment here comes from Joseph Hubbs of Mount Royal, New Jersey. And he asks, is it necessary to take a divot when swinging irons? I tend to sweep the ball and not take any divots. What do you think, John? Is it necessary to take a divot?
This is a very personal question for me, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
your mother was killed by taking a divot. Oh, okay. yeah, my mother died in a horrible divot accident. It was terrible. The bulldozer, biggest divot you've ever seen.
The bulldozer, ironically, the bulldozer, my father, who takes the largest divots known to man, that generally start about 5 inches behind the ball.
Yeah, and finish about 5 inches ahead of the ball. Yeah.
He taught me to sweep the ball, and I thought that was the way to do it. And nowadays, I just really wish I could more, you know, trap the ball, get a more penetrating shot with some more spin on it. So I've been attempting to take divots more, and I've permanently damaged my left shoulder, I think, by stopping the club in the ground, attempting to take divots. And it just doesn't work out. It's dangerous. Don't take divots.
There you go. I actually am going to go the other route on this. I'm going to say, not only is it necessary to take a divot when swinging irons, you want to take a divot when putting, you want to take a divot when hitting a driver, just, you know, before you even get out on the green, just do what Mike Bolin used to do and just take like five divots on your practice swings right in front of Marshalls. Just go ahead and tear that tee box up. And I think you'll see a lot of improvement in your game. Yeah.
And then get angry at him.
What a jerk. Why is he giving me crap? the best part.
What are you hassling me for?
Can't you see I'm trying to live a hassle-free lifestyle here, and you're hassling me right now? One time I was driving by, I was in Hawaii, and we were driving by a place that did taxes, and it had a big sign out front that said hassle-free tax returns, and all I could think was, man, that's where Mike must get his tax returns done. Oh, God. All right. So our next question comes from Michael Goforth from Olympia, Washington. And Michael asks, if bulge and roll are required for the optimum functioning of the club face of wood, why are iron club faces flat? John, why are iron club faces flat? Because bulge and roll is so important.
Wow.
It's a tough question. Michael Goforth is a thinking man's golfer.
Yeah. The only reason I can think iron club faces are flat
Yeah.
is I have no fucking clue, dude.
All right.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think we can all take a page out of KJ Choi's book and just, you know, let's just hybrid up all of our irons here.
There you go.
You know, it's stupid. Why are they flat? It's really dumb. I tend to think that iron club faces are flat because, God, I can't say that. Why can't we say that?
Tough.
Yeah, iron club faces are flat because they just develop later than other clubs. I think that's probably why. All right, so our last question. This is from Anonymous, out of Anonymous PA. Did you ever notice that if you blow in a dog's face, it goes mad, yet when you take him on a car ride, he sticks his head straight out the window? I have noticed that. John, do you know why that is?
Well, I think it has something to do with the same phenomenon where if you, you know, open your mouth wide and breathe on your hands, it's warm.
Mm.
But if you make your mouth small and blow on your hands, it's cold.
Oh.
So it's sort of like that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
But, you know, with dogs.
Yeah, but for dogs. Yeah, totally.
Right.
I think it's because dogs are stupid. I think that's probably what it is. Dogs are stupid. They're stupid animals. They don't know what the hell's going on. They think that they're running really fast. you know, have you ever wondered what does a dog actually think is going on when it gets in a car? Does it realize that it's inside of a moving vehicle going at like 75 miles an hour? Or does it just think it's in the living room and the house is moving or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just
dogs. My dogs have always just thought it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's time to get down on the floor of the car and go to bed.
Yeah.
Dogs are stupid. We all know that. All right, so moving on. We've answered a lot of your questions out there, but now it's time for us to give you some tips in our segment, Tips from the Medios.
And now, Tips from the Medios.
Fuck. 9.
All right, so the tip we're going to give today in the Tips from the Medios segment is something that a lot of Medios struggle with. You tend to see one type of shot shape come out of the Mediocre Golf Association, and that is the heavy slice. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how to hit a draw shot. John, can you draw the ball?
I don't know if it's not really a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just get straight into my technique for it.
Okay.
When I attempt to hit a draw.
Sure.
I really, really think about sort of swinging in to out. You know, I want to come across that ball.
Okay.
So I manage to do that about 4 inches behind the ball. And by the time the club reaches the ball, the back of the hosel of my 5-wood, it's always my 5-wood, hits the ball and it goes dead left into whatever hazard or woods is located there.
Okay.
And that's my draw shot.
All right. And you're sticking to it, huh? That's you're going to go ahead and say that's the way to do it, and it's, one day it's going to work?
It's a consistent shot.
All right.
It's a consistent shot, Willie.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you always know what it does, then why change? You know what I mean? Just stick with it. My technique for hitting the draw, and I recommend everybody give this a shot, the ball needs to go right to left, right? So, therefore... Yeah. You need to aim right first. So that's just obvious. I mean, that's, if you don't know that much about the draw shot, you're a fucking idiot. You're probably a dog. next, to get the ball to go back to the left, it needs to have spin on it. Okay. Also obvious. You got to put spin on the ball. Right. So what you want to do is try to just hit one side of the ball. Yeah. So a lot of people talk about how like the club face and the, you know, these stupid little lines in the club face, those are what does it. No, that's not what it is. Hit one side of the ball. Have you ever played pool? That's what you do. So what you want to do on your backswing, you want to twist the club in your hands about 180 degrees. All right. So just go ahead and take it back and then just spin your hands around. Yeah, I think Fairway Tim is pretty good at this.
I was just going to say, it's an instructional video.
Yeah, if you'll notice, he's got a pretty heavy draw to his shot. And then what you want to do is you want to impart that torque onto the ball at impact and make sure you stop the club at impact. So if you're John, you want to take a divot, right? You want no follow through at all. You want to feel like, oh, I just killed my left shoulder. That's what you want to feel. And lastly, keep one eye closed to allow for less distractions. With two eyes open, you just see too much stuff. So close one eye, see half the stuff, torque that club in your hand about 180 degrees, no follow through. And I think you're going to see that ball drawing nicely. So it'll help you get around trees. It'll help you get a little bit more kick and roll on your drives. So, yeah, go ahead and try that out, Medios, and get back to us and let us know how it works out for you.
Well, the best thing about that tip is how simple it is to remember.
Exactly. I mean, there's only a couple. There's only like four to five swing thoughts to think about, which, as we all know, whenever you're playing golf, it's best to use the A, B, C, D, E, F, G method, which is to go down the list of swing thoughts as you're taking the club head back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, people who say keep it simple, stupid are stupid. They're dogs. All right. So let's move on. We're going to talk about the lesser of the two major golf associations in a segment we call That Other Golf Association.
So let me get this straight. You could play golf and get paid.
See, I golf also. You should bring me sometime.
So for those of you who don't know out there, there is another golf association in the world besides the MGA. As stupid as that might sound, there is another one. These guys call themselves the Professional Golf Association, the PGA. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're on TV. They think that makes them more important. We clearly know that what really makes it more important is the fact that by the end of the round, more than half of the field should be glassy-eyed and drunk and not be able to remember the beginning of the round. That's what separates us from that other golf association. So a couple pieces of major news happened over there. Tiger Woods has dumped his caddy, to which I say, what a bitch. I mean, dude, he was your caddy for so long when you were number one in the world. Do you think that's the problem? You think it's time, yeah. Like, if I dump this caddy who's been with me forever, Steve Williams, like, that's your problem? No, dude, your problem is you're not getting enough ass anymore. Like, you've gone backwards in the ass-getting department, and it's just, it's not serving him. It's not serving his golf game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a little, I don't know, seeing Stevie's reaction to it, he was obviously surprised. Which means it was sort of out of the blue. And I mean, God knows that guy kept a lot of shit secret for Tiger.
Yeah, seriously. He was your wingman, dude.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, Stevie benefited pretty damn well for those years.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say exactly. he definitely got his share of money and accolades, and I'm sure he got some of that pussy run off. Yeah. But you know, it's just kind of a dick move, you know, like, I'm just going to drop this caddy who's helped me, you know, become the number one player in the world for a long time. And so I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. I think what he needs to do is go back to what was working before. And what was working before, Steve Williams was a big part of that. So, I don't know. It's weird. I think what he needs to do is he needs to get married and he needs to just cheat on that spouse all the time. And that'll probably get his game back into shape. So, let's talk about someone who's also kind of a bitch. That's Darren Clark winning his first major. I actually really like Darren Clark.
What's up with that?
I don't know. It was funny because at the time I wrote in the notes, Tiger switches caddies, what a bitch. Darren Clark wins his first major, what a bitch. But
right.
Yeah. I do really like Darren Clark. He's actually one of the guys that I always kind of rooted for. And so I was glad to see him win the first major, especially on a golf course that was pretty tough and a lot of people were having trouble on. Like there was good weather days. Where people were playing better than you usually see in a British Open, but he just like kind of calmly and collectively. No, that's not right. He was calm and collected, and yeah. He just kind of made his way through without making a lot of mistakes. It was really cool.
Yeah, which made it really boring, and I was I was rooting against him. Dustin Johnson.
Oh, Dustin Johnson! That guy can jump so high. Oh my god. It's amazing.
who then made a very mediocre shot on the par five. He was it out of bounds to take himself out of it. Yeah. So after that, I gave in and just, I didn't really cheer on Darren Clark, but I stopped hoping he would fail.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just kind of like, all right, you just accepted it. Well, you know, yeah. There wasn't a lot of great storylines in this one. Tom Watson kind of thrilled everybody for about a half a day. And then, you know, went back. Everybody thought Rory McIlroy was going to somehow, like, just destroy the field again. But he kind of disappeared. Yeah, just not that much fun to watch, which is why you should probably watch the MGA Bradish Open. There's a lot more going on there. So, in other news on that other golf association, I just want to bring to light some people who are worse at putting than Sergio Garcia, which is very hard to do. Sergio Garcia, a lot of people know as a guy who had a lot of talent, but for whatever reason, just cannot putt. I'm a better putter than Sergio Garcia. John, you are a better putter than Sergio Garcia. And that's just sad. And what's even more sad is Rocco Mediate, David Duvall, Ernie Els, dude. I'm sorry, that made me cough a little bit saying that.
Yeah, no.
Ernie Els. What?
Have you seen him putt recently?
Is it really bad? Is it what's going on?
Oh my God. I mean there must be some unspoken rule with announcers that they don't say the word the yips.
Yeah.
Because he cannot make a putt. And because I've been there pretty recently, I know exactly how he's feeling. Like he'll hit an approach shot to 2 feet and he's just shaking.
Oh,
the whole
God.
Way up there. He knows he's going to miss it, and then he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't make a 2-foot putt right now.
That
he can
sucks.
Make a 20-footer.
Yeah.
But he can't make a 2-foot putt.
Yeah. Today I missed the 2-foot putt from Meagle.
So,
and
I don't have to anymore.
That killed me, dude. It killed me. I had I hit the best 6-iron I've hit in a long time. Dead straight, hit right before the cup and just rolled right up to it. 2-foot putt from Meagle. I must have started thinking about that dude, and then, lipped it out. Boo Weekly also, by the way, worse than Sergio Garcia. So, boo.
Wow.
Yeah. Surprising, right?
Yeah.
It is. I went to look at the PGA stats thinking, I'm going to click on the putting stats, and Sergio Garcia is going to be firmly planted at the bottom of this list.
Right.
And I was immensely shocked to find some of these big names below him. So pull it together, guys. It's pretty embarrassing when Sergio's better at something than you are, especially when it's putting.
Yeah. Ernie, it's painfully obvious. Like I think the thing is, he's been putting himself somehow still. He's putting himself in contention this year, so you're just seeing it a lot more than those other guys who aren't really in contention.
Yeah, for a long time, he was always kind of talked about as this, like, really great golfer. And, I mean, maybe it was a little before my time of actually watching a lot of golf, because I was just like, I never see this guy compete, you know?
No, he used to be great.
Yeah, he's got the history, but, he's just, it's just falling off the face of the earth. Hasn't won anything in a long time.
He won 2 tournaments last year. That's the amazing thing.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
With terrible putting.
Well, that's why this is the other golf association, because clearly I don't pay very much attention to it. You put an interesting thing in here. Now, there's actually a third association, a guy named Trip Eisenhower is making his way onto that. What's going on there, John?
Well, he's commentating for it.
Okay.
It's the Nationwide Tour, where we affectionately tell our gross award winners to go join that.
Yeah.
Assholes.
Yeah.
And Trip Eisenhower, for anyone who doesn't know, bird killer, noted bird killer.
Noted.
2008, he was filming an instructional video, and there was a hawk making too much noise, so he took 10 shots at it with a driver. It was about 75 yards away. Got it with the 10th one and killed it. Got some press out of that one.
Yeah. Sounds like a cool guy.
yeah. And anyway, now he's commentating for the Nationwide Tour. And when I saw that, I was just wondering, you know, what's he going to say when he's commentating and one day a player hits a bird and kills it?
Mm.
What will be his first comment?
I'm going to make a guess. He's going to say something like, you know, yeah, yeah, that bird deserved that. Or maybe something along the lines of, oh, thank God I'm not the only one. You know, kind of like kind of like Michael Richards after all the hot water he got into. You know, he was just waiting for somebody else to say a really negative word. And that way, you know, move that blame off of him onto somebody else.
Thank you, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, thank you, Mel Gibson, for coming into all our lives and making my life much better. I mean, that's something that you don't want to be remembered for right there.
I think when it happens, he's just going to say, great shot.
Oh, beautiful shot. Beautiful shot. Yeah,
he's going to like that one.
All right. So another thing going on. Now, you went to school in Ohio, did you not?
I did. I went to the Ohio State.
The Ohio State. All right. Another state school, similar to me. I go to the San Francisco State. And, a statey's got to stick it. You know, we got to stick together, man. Statey's.
Right. I mean, San Francisco is not a state, but
true.
It makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine, though. You know, we're different in a lot of ways, though, here in San Francisco. We don't really concern ourselves with things like what words mean. So what's going on at Ohio State?
Oh, well, this was where I was watching that nationwide tournament. I was watching it on TV and watching them play on the Scarlet course because I got the chance to play that course a bunch when I was out there. So it's fun to watch the pros tee it up. And, they invited a bunch of college amateurs to play in the event for these, these poor journeyman pros who are just barely trying to hang on and make it to the PGA Tour. If they can just top 25, well, the two college players finished 1-2.
Oh, my God. That's like Todd Benoit coming to Boston. Oh, man.
It's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, what jerks.
But what was really cool was the top finishing pro in third place had to make – he made like a 15-footer breaking putt to get a birdie, and he knew it put him as the top finishing pro, so he was – you know, super stoked. Got him an extra $50,000.
Does he get number one money then if amateurs finish? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets number one money. So, and it jumped him from like 40th on the money list up to 5th, and the top 25 get their tour cards. So that was basically the best day ever in that guy's life.
Hell yeah.
They're towards the end of their season too.
Yeah. So he knows he's probably going to get there then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also wrote in here something that I agree with. We need to bring back my guy. So I think we might work on that for the next Mediocast because my guy was a lot of fun. And I got to look up my guy and see what's going on. I know Jared Lyle's been on the PGA Tour now for a while. So I'm pretty sure you won that my guy segment last time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Has he held his card or is he gone?
I don't know. I think he's been on it 2 years since we did the My Guy.
Oh, okay.
Not consecutively.
Yeah.
I don't think. I'm not sure. I got to look into him. But,
well, that guy beat cancer, he can do anything, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Lyle File.
Yeah. The Lyle File. You got to check out the Lyle File. Was it lylefile.com or something like that? You got
something
like
that.
You got to look up the Lyle File. It's if you ever want to keep up on the titillating and scintillating world of Jared Lyle, definitely go check the Lyle File out. All right. You know what? We're going to end the show with one more segment here. And this segment is one of my favorites because it gives us a chance to give one Medio the spotlight. Of course, it is the Medio spotlight.
All of the lights.
All of the lights on one Medio will discuss his kind of all right accomplishments in this week's Medio spotlight.
Our Medio spotlight for this show, July 28th, 2011, is going to be somebody who is currently number one in the world right now on the global money list, which is a coveted spot to be at. And I really, you know, I've been a fan of this guy ever since he hit the tour last year. He's a three-time winner on tour. And there's a lot of
where did you get that stat?
What's that?
Because how do you know he's a three-time winner on tour? Because I don't keep good track of that.
He's won twice this year, back-to-back, and he won once last year in Boston. So,
okay.
Yeah, I went through their stories. So, I don't know, maybe he's won again, but I know he finished runner-up to Todd Benoit, when that guy rudely showed up in Boston. There's tons of video of this guy sucking at golf. Every single tournament, I think Vin Ferraro decides to post video of Randy Peach's worst shots of the tournament. And he's like, how did this guy win? How did this guy win again? Similar to what we did with Max Lanye and I think Mike Bolin one year. They finished like high up on the list, and the only footage that we had of them was them horribly missing putts or chipping really poorly. Randy the Fuzz Peach, number one in the world right now, which is, I know how that feels to be there, and it feels great. So this guy's he's got to be on top of the world right now, you know?
I'm honestly at this stage, I'm just overjoyed to be top 30 because I feel like I've underperformed. My game has been halfway decent this year.
Yeah.
And I just haven't brought it yet. Mm.
And you're still number 27.
But I'm holding on to a shred of hope that I can get top five in the world. I honestly, the way I was hitting the ball the other day, if I could just putt, top five in the world.
Well, you know, I think you can do it. As we all know, last year it took me finishing third in the WCs to actually get my number one status. So, I mean, you just got to perform well there. You know, you got a few more tournaments left. I think you can do it, man.
Yeah. Important note there for anyone who doesn't know that the world championship money is towards global money lists. So,
yeah.
If you're up towards the top and you don't show, you will no longer be towards the top, most likely.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of money to be had there.
Big,
and
big purse.
And we all know it doesn't count against the chapter money list, so those will be all sewn up by the time we get out there. But that global money list is really where it's at. I mean, that's your world ranking, really. In the MGA, that's as close as it comes to world ranking. So right now I'm currently ranked number 127, which is quite a far fall from my number one status of last year. But, you know, it's all right. It's all right. I'm crying a lot. I'm eating less. I've lost about 16 pounds since my drop. It's really hit me hard, but things are looking up. It can't get any worse, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
The tears help, I guess.
Yeah, I think they do. And you know, I'm trying to follow my own tips. And hopefully I can find a way.
There's your problem.
Yeah. Honestly, this year I finished out of the money, I think like half the time. I think more than half the time I finished completely out of the money, which is just, man, it sucks. It really sucks. Randy the Fuzz Peach, by the way, what were you going to say?
Yeah. I was just going to say you could never maintain the training schedule you had last year where, you just didn't play any golf at all except the tournaments.
Yeah, it took a lot out of me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and because it's just not sustainable, because as you become the top medio in the world, obviously your golf game's in pretty good shape, and when your golf game's in good shape, golf is fun.
Yeah, so you want to play. More. Absolutely. That's what happened. I wanted to play. And I was talking to Kent about this today. I've been wasting all my good rounds when I'm not playing a tournament. Shot 80 at Lincoln after an 81 there. Had a pretty good round today, 92 on a really tough course. I've had some really good rounds this year. And actually, my stats on fairwayfiles.com are the best they've ever been. But my tournament showings are absolutely horrible and in the toilet. It's weird. It's very weird. Very weird year for me. An off year, I could say. But, you know, no one can ever take 2010 away from me. So, I just want to say this.
I mean, you can still get a major this year.
That's true.
You can still get a major this year.
Even if it is the fourth major. Yeah. Even if it is the fourth major, no one really cares about. So Randy the Peach Fuzz, Randy the Fuzz Peach, Randy the Fuzz Peach. I think we should start calling him Randy the Peach Fuzz. Randy the Fuzz Peach is also the star of one of my favorite pictures ever. And I can't remember exactly which tournament it was, but there's a picture of him winning the big check. No, no, no. He's winning the big check, and it's a picture of him and Vin Ferraro, and he's got his hand on Vin Ferraro's face, just covering his face while he proudly holds up his check. And it is just one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen. We should probably link to that on the Facebook, too. It's amazing. I mean, it's really, really good. Not only a great Medio, number one in the world, but
great with the fans.
Great with the fans, great with the chapter leaders, just a people person, you know? And hopefully we'll see him out at the MJWCs this year. I know Mike Burke was their only representative last year. But being number one in the world, I mean, you have to show up, you know? You just have to.
Yep.
So if you don't show, I rescind my vote for you as a people person. And I will start, I will just start talking shit about you, you know, mercilessly. All right. So I think that does it for the MGA MedioCast episode 24. John, do you have any final words for the people out there?
Sign up as soon as you can for the World Championship so we can get everything planned and make it the most incredible event in the world. I know everyone who's gone in the past years has just had time of their lives, and I might have to do another testimonial article like I did last year, because there were some good stories that came out of that.
Oh yeah,
but it's a great time out there, and I will not regret it.
Yeah, a lot of fun to be had, and not only that, but a good way to cement yourself as an MGA legend. Just ask John James. Yep. You know, in an otherwise tumultuous year, he's been able to call himself world champion. And, you know, that has to feel good. And he would have never been able to do that if he didn't come out to Vegas and shoot the round of his life when it mattered the most. So I highly recommend you come out, and hopefully we'll see you there. We will be back in a couple weeks, hopefully, for another MedioCast. If you want to contact the MGA, just kind of email whatever at mgatour.com. John@mgatour.com. That'll work. What was the other one, John? What was the other one?
The Hey Dog Say Hi to Your Mother For Me, okay? At gmail.com.
That also works as well. Check out mgatour.com.
Yeah, the contact page.
Contact page, best way to do it. Definitely follow us on Twitter. What's the Twitter, John?
I don't know.
All right.
you can find it on the MGA homepage.
Definitely follow us on Twitter.
A lot of good stuff on there.
At I don't know. Come out. If there's not a chapter in your town, start an MGA chapter. If there is a chapter in your town, get out there and sign up. Join up. The MGA is happening now, and it's happening everywhere. It is worldwide, and it is in your face. So, again, thank you to John Lucky Kick Morley for joining me all the way from Chicago, Chi-Town. And my name is Straight Willie Dills, and we will see you guys on the next MedioCast.